Good afternoon, everybody. Before I begin, I have 2 points to introduce a shiur with. Point number one, in general, when I give a shiur, I try to create a certain excitement about something in the Torah, something I'm going to do, a certain eagerness. I have to tell you today, that's not my point, because unfortunately, we're speaking about Tisha B'Av. I have to tell you, if the one day a year I do not look forward to is Tisha B'Av, but it's definitely part of our calendar and our Masorah. And I think that it's very important to understand how we're supposed to feel on Tisha B'Av in order to get the most out of it, so at least after Tisha B'Av we'll feel good about ourselves. The second point, the title of the shiur, is definitely somewhat counterintuitive. As a matter of fact, someone said to me, it's out of order. It says foreboding, devastation, destruction, redemption. Really, destruction should precede devastation. That's true. However, what I'm speaking about is experiencing foreboding, experiencing devastation, experience destruction, and experiencing, Mirtz Hashem, the redemption. Now, in my house, growing up, well, first let me begin with the first source number one. Source number one is from the Rav's Torah on Keynote. And this can be found in the Keynote itself or in his book explaining the Keynote. And the Rav points out that obviously what we're doing right now is what is referred to as Navelut Yishana. That we're mourning over something that happened 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago. It's a mourning that unfortunately we experience year in and year out, and a mourning experiencing, remembering something that we lost so many years ago. And then we have what's called an Avelut Chadasha, a new mourning that we've experienced when we lose a relative, be it parents, be it the siblings, children, spouses. That's called an Avelut Chadasha. And the Rav points out that even though there are many similarities, the Avelut Yishana in its essence is different than Avelut Yishana. Why? Because in Avelut Chadasha, we feel the strongest sense of mourning, the time of death, and immediately after death. And whether we're speaking about for one relative or a parent, that as we get closer, as we get closer to the end of the morning, the feeling sort of ebbs away. And you know, it's sort of a natural process. The strongest form of mourning to the weakest form of mourning. However, when it comes to the Avelut Yishana of the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Shavua, Shechal Bo, Tisha B'Av, Erev Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av itself, it's just the opposite. Because we begin with the 3 weeks, which the Rav implies that's mourning. I wanna basically maybe point out that my father maybe felt a little differently, but certainly the 9 days, according to our custom, Shvur Shechal Bo, the week of Tisha B'Av, the mourning is a little more severe. Erev Tisha B'Av, which we will, in general, we probably will not have in its more complete form this year, is more severe than Tisha B'Av itself. Then all of a sudden, as soon as Tisha B'Av ends, especially this year, okay, so we'll have Milchik Smotzi Tisha B'Av Sunday night. But it's sort of, it's over, and Tisha B'Av, Monday morning, you don't even feel like it was Tisha B'Av. You don't feel. As a matter of fact, I always say that in Eretz Yisrael, so different than Chutz Laretz, I'd like to say between, after Tisha B'Av and Rosh Chodesh Elul, it's a Levedik. Levitic in this country, you go to the north, it's like it's a party, and all over. As a matter of fact, I hear what people always say, you know, Baruch Hashem, that people feel like they can serve a Kadosh Baruch and Chutz Laretz. And they say, you know, besides the mitzvah of Yishuv Aretz, they're wrong, 100% wrong. Besides the mitzvah of Yishuv Aretz, why should we move to Eretz Yisrael? Okay, that's what they say. So the bottom line is that obviously they're wrong, they don't understand and appreciate what Eretz Yisrael is. And one answer is, you know, you might be able to do mitzvot, but you don't feel what it means to be a Jew. Eretz Yisrael, there's no question between the night and the Efer Tishabov and Rosh Chodesh Elul, you feel the Nechama. You don't feel it in America. I spent many years in America between Rosh Chodesh, between Tishabov and Rosh Chodesh Elul. You don't feel it. But it's the point my uncle was making is you go from the most severe form of mourning, at least according to Halacha, and this year especially, to all of a sudden going into Simcha to Nechama. And we really have to understand why that is. And why was the mourning based this way? And obviously it's in order to help us feel the Nechama, and the point of the Shir is to understand that. So let's begin with a few questions. So we know that we're in the 9 days. According to Minhag Ashkenaz, during the 9 days we don't eat meat, we don't drink wine. And in source number 2, and in Mans Minak Svar, there are various minhagim. But in source number 2, we have the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen, Tav Kuf Nun Aleph Sif Yud, discusses that even though the minhag is not to drink wine, it says, Umutar Lishtos Yayin Vahabdallah Ubirkas Hamazon. In the days when they were accustomed to always benching Alakos, so you're allowed to drink wine, and you're also always allowed to when you benched on the coast and you made Abdullah, you're allowed to drink the wine. Ramah says, "Minogin lahachmir, our minog is to be machmir, shelo lishtos yayin birchas hamazon l'Abdullah, not to drink wine in coast birchas hamazon. General today, but as far as coast birchas hamazon is concerned, general, we don't usually bench on the coast. So this heter would not apply even according to the machaber." Below ba'avdallah and not ba'avdallah. Elenostin latinok, you give, if you make avdallah on wine or grapes, you should give it to a tinok. And the Vilna Gaon argues, you see, she's still a machim like a tinok mutter ba'atzmo. So the Vilna Gaon in source number 3 explains the machaber, says very simply, yes, the Jews were machabel, a minog, Ashkenazim, not to drink wine during Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, during the 9 days. But we were never mekabel not to drink wine at a time of a mitzvah. And since it was a mitzvah, we were not mekabel. V'chi ha'gavno likiblu, he says. And then he points out that we were not mekabel, and that's the sheet of the Gra. I'll just point out parenthetically, my father held that, he said that this Chumrah, the Ramah, he felt, well, based on the Gra, he felt that someone who always makes Abdullah on wine or grape juice would be able to make Havdalah on wine or grape juice during the 9 days and drink the wine or grape juice. Someone who midei pam once in a while will make grape juice and chamar and bedina, then during the 9 days he should also make Havdalah on chamar and bedina. My father every so often would make Havdalah on hot tea. That was his enjoyment. So therefore he said, for myself I will not, but he says in general if you do like the Gra, you'd be allowed to make Havdalah on wine or grape juice. But that's the shita of the, that's Machlokas Machaber Ramah. So you drink. I forgot exactly, but he definitely made Havdalah on tea. Okay. And, not on beer. No, my father did not make Havdalah on beer. Okay, not for any halachic reasons. All right, so the Magen Avraham in source number 4. So he said, you give it to a tinok. So it's mashm, you give it to a tinok. That seems to imply that you're allowed to give a tinok, a child, wine and meat, grapes and meat, during the 9 days. So he says, mashma de mutter, liten latinok basar v'yayim v'shabazu. Why the mikara lo nagu isra lahachmer betinok? Then he goes on. Bedafka betinok she'ena yodei lisa'avil al Yerushalayim. It only applies to a child who does not understand what it means, or does not understand the whole concept of 9 days. Lisa'avil. However, and then he goes on and says, you shouldn't say because the mitzvah is mutter. No, we don't say that. He says the halacha is that you're allowed to give it to a child who understands what Shabbos is and knows that every week we make Havdalah, but doesn't understand what's going on with the 9 days. So according to the Magen Avraham, seems to imply that we are mechanech the children in regard to some of the mourning practices in regard to the 9 days. My daughter called me today, my daughter, my 10-year-old, she spent the night with two of her friends from school. And it happened that two of her friends are Sephardim. And she called her, she says, Miaba, she says, they're going swimming in the pool. Can I go swimming in the pool? So I said to her, I said, the truth is that the Minhag Ashkenazim is not to go. You shouldn't go. And I think her friends, because of that, they did something else. But according to Magen Avraham, and I, my impression is this is the minhag of Klal Yisrael, at least the way I was raised, that we are mechanech children in the nihugim da'avelis of the 9 days. However, so that being said, we have to ask a question: why? If you look at source number 5 in regard to the halacha of fasting on the Arvat Somos. So in source number 5, the Shulchan Aruch says, Tzivin Tav Kuf Nun, Hakol Chayovin Lisanos, Arbat Somos Halalu, everyone is obligated to fast these 4 fast days, and the Shulchan Aruch adds in, V'asr Lifros Geder, a person shouldn't say, oh, you know what, you know the sugya, it's really a minog, it's not that important, I don't have to fast on Shivasr B'Tamas, it's not a major fast, it's only a minor fast. The Shulchan Aruch says, "V'asr lifrotz geder." If you don't have a heter because of health reasons, it's asr to be poritz geder to break the fence, and you have to fast. You look at the Bir Halacha in source number 5. Tinokes bas yugay shanim v'yom echad, v'tinok ben yud gimel shanim v'yom echad chayavim lisanos. A daughter, girl who's 12 years old in 1 day, and a boy who's 13 years old in 1 day. It means 13. Chayavim lisanos, the lo kodem l'chayim. The Bir Halacha is very clear. There's no obligation for a katan or a katana, a minor male or female, to fast on any of the fast days besides maybe Yom Kippur. When it comes to Yom Kippur, so then the Shulchan Aruch does mention the idea of chinuch for somebody who is strong, 11 years old, for both to fast a whole day for both the boy and the girl, and if the boy is not so strong, he can start at 12, but there's definitely halach, and that's the first time in Shulchan Aruch chinuch is mentioned in regards to fasting. So it's obvious from the Shulchan Aruch that there is no obligation at all, and there is no chinuch when it comes to the other fast days. I have to tell you, I remember, you know, when I was growing up, it was very clear in my house. No child fast except for Yom Kippur. When I was 11 years old, my father asked me if I wanted to fast Yom Kippur. I fasted a full day. The other fast days, I did not fast. My bar mitzvah was Erev Yom Kippur. I did not fast Tzom Gedalia. I was not allowed to fast. And I remember the whole class. Everyone fasted who wore bar mitzvah. Only one boy didn't fast, the son of a Baron Soloveitchik. He didn't know what was going on. That was halacha. And I mentioned this thing which goes around, that you're supposed to fast 3 fast days before your bar mitzvah. I heard B'Shem Rav Schechter, he says, that's one of the things nobody knows a mucker for. That's the bottom line. Okay, whatever, I'm not here to go ahead and to question people do. This is halacha. But where am I headed with this? It's very important for the shir. So he says, you look at source number 6 in regard to Tisha B'Av, I think, maybe in regard to other fast days, the Magen Avraham does add in, Kasav this Ramam Mipana, source number 6, the Ketanim. So what do you feed your children on Tisha B'Av? Machil Nosol Lechem Amayim L'Savol Metzibur. So you feed them water, bread and water. It doesn't mean bread and water. You know, okay, your child comes into Tisha B'Av, what can he eat? Can I have Rice Krispies? No, bread and water, that's it. It doesn't mean bread and water. It just means, you know, there are no treats on Tisha B'Av. I remember once, I guess I was a kid, and I was eating on Tisha B'Av, obviously, and, you know, they had bought something special for Motzei Tisha B'Av. Maybe it was cookies, and I asked my mom, can I have cookies? She said, no, you can have tonight. You can't have cookies today. Remember, that's it. Why? Because you have to go in some sense, and you have to experience the morning. So, and this is based on a Ramam Mipano. He talks about Yom Kippur, and he says Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, Yisrael are holy, and someone wants to do like Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, not our sugit, let your child fast on Yom Kippur. So he says, and you watch over them, make sure they can handle the fast, very important. So he says V'kovi Hashem Yachlifo Koach, but that's only by Yom Kippur. It's very interesting. U'bashkocha mat medes, you have to keep watching them to make sure. V'shlo yehet tzadik harbe al v'shar atzomos. And he says, and even the ketanim, whatever that means, they should miss Abelva. He says, with its sibur, and as far as fasting the rest of the day, this is enough for this chinuch until they get older, or by the time they get older, it'll be l'sasim l'simcha. Now, why is this important? Because he's teaching us why is it that children don't fast other fast days. Because the whole reason to fast other fast days is for chinuch. So I'm going to be mechanech, my 10-year-old, then I have a 12-year-old, that's going to be a mitzvah, Rosh Hashanah, another 3 weeks, and say, to fast Tisha B'Av, it's chinuch. They can have a very good kash. What kind of chinuch is there? Maybe by the time I become bar mitzvah, or bas mitzvah, Mashiach will be here. So that's what Maharam Ebano says. So when they either will be l'sasim l'simcha, or when they get older, there's no chinuch. Why? Because when they get older, hopefully, there won't be a fast day. And I heard a story, the same story, that once one of Moshe Feinstein's grandchildren was fasting, and he said, Zeddy, I'm fasting. And Rav Moshe gave a look. He wasn't very happy. And his daughter-in-law says, chinuch. Rav Moshe says, there's no chinuch. Maybe there will be a beis mikdash when you become bar mitzvah. So my question I want to ask is, if that's the case, how come when it comes to eating the fleishiks, we are mechanech ketanim? That's the question. Why aren't mechanech ketanim? See, after all, maybe they should not keep any of the veilas for the 9 days, because Mirtz Hashem, by the time Mashiach comes, they become gedolim. They won't have to observe the nihugim in the 9 days. So why do we do that? That's one question, which I'll come back to. Now, in source number 8, so if you look in Chazal, to see, you know, how the Chazal saw the 3 weeks and the 9 days. So the truth is that Chazal, they had a different perspective of the 3 weeks than we did. Chazal did not necessarily say that the morning of the 3 weeks is the morning of the 3 weeks is the same morning that we have. According to Chazal, it seems that there's two points, there's two types of mourning that we have during the 3 weeks. One type of mourning during the 3 weeks is the mourning of, it's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch that a person should be very careful not to go out during a certain time of the day, during the, if you look at source number 12, I'm sorry, it's out of order, but Sarach Lizorim Yuzayim V'Tamuz Ad Tespa Av Shlolelech Yechidi Nidalet Shos Ad Tet Shos. A person should not go out from 4 to 9 hours in the daytime, from Shivas V'Tamuz till the 9th of Av. Why? Mishum Shebehem Ketet Mariri Sholeit. There's a certain shade that Sholeit then, and therefore you should be very careful. And also, the Lo Yakol Talmidim Rabbeim should not hit their students during this time. So the second part is not really relevant to us anymore, Baruch Hashem. However, the first part is relevant. You know, so I'm a brisker, I'm a Soloveitchik, and we don't necessarily believe that there are Shadim. The Rambam did not mention Shadim. I have to tell you that all the years I spent in camp, and I would go jogging outside camp, I never went during those 3 weeks and those hours. I was very machped, because I don't know where Ketet Mariri is. But if he's anywhere, he's out in the mountains when no one's around. So that's one thing which is mentioned in the Medrash, one idea. And the second is the idea of the Shlosha de Parnusa, the three Haftoros that we read from Shivas Rabatamos Tisha B'Av, and of course the Zayin and Nechemya, the three Haftoros is mentioned in the Psikta of Rav Zutra. So those are the three ideas. And obviously from the Haftoros, as we'll see, we can understand what we're supposed to feel during the 3 weeks and the 9 days in Shavu Shechalvo, and Mirtz Hashem will try to understand that in a few days. That's exactly what we're supposed to feel. But if you look at source number 8, the source number 8 did not happen this year. Barosh Chodeshav Shecholios B'Shabbos, so almost, if Rosh Chodeshav falls out on Shabbos, Maftirin, you read the Haftorah, Chodsheichem Moadechem Sona Nafshi Hayu Laila Torah. You read the Haftorah that your months and your holidays I hated, it was a burden to me, and the reason being, because that means Rosh Chodesh, that's the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon, that's part of the Haftorah, and it's Rosh Chodesh, and we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not like way you commemorate Rosh Chodesh, but that's what the Gemara says. This year did not happen. So the Tosfos, Maseches Megillah, source number 9, points out, very simply, he says, why is it that we don't do that? But in source number 9, Daf Lamed Aleph Mem Beis Maseches Megillah, Ve'ein Anu Osin Kein, we don't do that. We don't read that Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon, of Yishayahu Perek Aleph, that God hates the way we celebrate Rosh Chodesh. Ela Maftir B'Miyohu, but we read from Yirmiyahu, Perek Bet, Shimu Devar Hashem. And when do we read at least the whole Haftorah then? Chazon Yeshayahu, the Haftorah of Chazon Yeshayahu. Vahatam. And the reason why we read Chazon Yeshayahu, Lefish Anunogin Alpi Apsikta. We're knowing according to the Psikta, Lomar Gimel de Pernusa, to recite the three Haftorahs of Pernusa, Kodem Tisha B'Av, before Tisha B'Av. And then we can skip a few lines because this deals with the Zayin de Nechemta. And the question is why, and this is very important. This is very important. And he says the reason is because when we read Shabbos Chazon, if you look at the third line of source number 9, V'ha she'ein anu maftirun chazon b'shabbos zechol b'rosh Hashanah av, he says, because we hold al-pidin. Okay? In other words, our minhag is to have avelus, but al-pidin, according to the din of the Gemara, ein avelus chal ela b'shavua shechal tisha b'av yos b'socho. Medina de Gemara, when does the morning start? The morning starts in Shavua Shechal b'tisha b'av. Chazon Yeshayahu is about mourning, as we'll see. It's about avelus. And therefore, we can't recite, read Chazon Yeshayahu and Rosh Chodesh Av, because the mourning, according to the Gemara, does not begin from there. Again, we begin our mourning from Rosh Chodesh. That's the custom. When that custom, I don't know. But the Gemara, in the time of the Gemara, so obviously the custom, at least the Gemara does not mention that custom. He says, and then Rav who says that you have a Haftorah of Shabbat Chazon on Rosh Chodesh, that's because he says the Avelus, the morning begins from Rosh Chodesh Av. So what do we see from here? We see from here that the morning begins from Rosh Chodesh Av, and, not sorry, from Shavua Shechal Bo. According to the custom of Ashkenazim, the morning begins from Rosh Chodesh Av. So we have to understand what the morning is and the difference between what the morning implies. Okay, and then I just would like to one more point, and then I'll put all the whole shiur together. So the Gemara Maseches Megillah Tavlam Alham Beis asks, what kriya do you read on Tisha B'Av? And the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Tisha B'Av Gufei, what's the Haftorah which we don't follow? He said, Amar Rav Eichoisa Lazona. We read from the Yeshayahu Perek Aleph, which we do on Shabbos Chazon. Nikra Mai, what Kriya do we read on Tisha B'Av? So Acherim Omrim. So one opinion says, if you don't listen to me, okay. Rav Nosson Bar Yosef Omar, Ad Onay Yatuni Yamazev Yesh Omrim Ad Masal Eda Hazos. And then Abaya says, our custom today is to read Kisolid Banu Nevanim when you have children in the land and grandchildren and you sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish you and there's going to be a catastrophe. That's our custom. So the Reba Van in source number 11 points out something fascinating. He says, I don't understand, he says. You know, Yom Kippur, we read about the Avodas Yom Kippurim, the service of Yom Kippur, of the Kohen Gadol and the Beis HaMikdash. Sukkot, we read about Sukkot. Shemini Atzeres, okay, we read Zos HaBrach, that's an exception. Pesach, we read about Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt. The 7 day, we read about Kriyas Yamsuf. And Shavuos, we read about Matan Torah, Kabbalah HaTorah. And Purim, we read about Amalek. He says, Tisha B'Av, it's clear. What happened, Tisha B'Av? When did Tisha B'Av begin? It began when the Meraglim came back from Eretz Yisrael, and they said, we're never going to do it. We're going to be killed. We're going to be slaughtered. And Rivan asks the question. He says, and even though there are opinions in the Gemara itself that say, you should read Ad Yonah Natsuni, Ad Masei La'eda, two parshios that deal with the Meraglim in the second and third line on the second side of the page. Ubelel Tisha B'Av Chazru, and on Tisha B'Av night they returned. V'nigzru alem nisim amidbar, and death was decreed upon the whole Dor HaMidbar, the generation who came out of Egypt. Afilu hachi no gamul nikros kisolid. We also only read kisolid. We don't speak about the Meraglim. The Einon Ukorim parshas Meraglim. So what does he say? He says, he doesn't explain why, but he says for that reason Shivasu B'Tamuz, we also don't read about the Egel. And the question is, why don't we read about the Meraglim? That seems to make the most sense. That's talking about Tisha B'Av. So I think it's important to understand what Tisha B'Av is about and what the 3 weeks are about. I know that the 3 weeks were beyond the 3 weeks, but Yesh Bechlal Messiah Mana. So we have to also understand what the 3 weeks are about. So one question I asked, and that was, why is it that when it comes to when it comes to fasting, Katan and young children don't fast. And when it comes to the mourning of the 9 days, Shavuot Shechal Bo, yes. Even children don't go swimming. You know, there's a heter in certain camps, instructional swim. That's a very, very weak heter, I have to tell you, because usually it's not instructional. We in general, for someone who's magil lechinuch, we don't give them meat, we don't give them wine. The question is, why is that there's chinuch when it comes to the 9 days? So in source number 13, Rav Moshe Feinstein himself says it. He says, Avol yoter mistaber shachi of the tishabav ubein hamitzarim. The ikar is because of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, it's not to mourn, per se, because there is no chinuch of mourning. But it's order, besides the mourning, order to instill within Klal Yisrael, within the adults, within the children, to realize and understand how important the Beis HaMikdash is. How important actually Eretz Yisrael is. To understand that we can't live in all of Eretz Yisrael, what a problem it is. That's the point of the mourning of the 9 days. He says, the point of 9 days, the point of the mourning is not just to mourn. The point of the mourning is to instill within the children and adults how important the Beis HaMikdash is. How important it is to have a Beis HaMikdash. How important it is to live in Eretz Yisrael. We're not even talking about today, which is obvious. But even when Jews were living in the Golis and they felt they could never make it to Eretz Yisrael, hundreds of years ago, and let's say during time periods when things were going well in the golden ages of whatever country, think, you know what? We can do mitzvot. We can learn Torah. We're secure. We're involved. Come the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Shavuot Shechal Bo, we have to cry out and say, you know what, to understand and realize how important Eretz Yisrael is, how important the Beis HaMikdash is. There's a pasuk in Parshas Vayigash, which has always seemed very difficult, the Rashi. Source number 14, Parshas Vayigash, Vayipol, when Binyamin and Yosef finally reckon, Binyamin realizes who Yosef is, and Yosef understands, Binyamin knows who he is. Vayipol, Savare Binyamin Ochi, Vayeich, Binyamin Bach al Savarov. Yosef falls on Binyamin's shoulders and begins to cry. And he says, and Binyamin cried on the shoulders of Yosef. And if you would ask me about Rashi, I would say it's obvious. Why do they cry? Well, they haven't seen each other in many years. They're the closest relatives they have, they're brothers. Why shouldn't they cry? And Rashi adds in very simply, why did they cry? Yosef cried on the two temples that were supposed to be in the Chelech of Binyamin and were destined to be destroyed. To understand, you know, how he knew, that's beyond me. But another question. Can you imagine? You know, you have a child is born. And our hope and our dream is this child should be zocha to arichas yomim v'shanim. He should be zocha to 120 years, whatever it means. And then all of a sudden the baby's born and one of the parents starts to cry. So why are you crying? Because in 120 years, right, this baby's going to die. Isn't there something so ridiculous? Come here. You know, so the truth is that Rabbi Akiva, when he saw Eshes Tunis Rufus, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, he saw her and he spat. He laughed and he cried. The Gemara says, why did he do that? He spat because at that point she was a pagan woman. She came from Matipa Srucha, a putrid drop. And then why did he laugh? Because he saw that she was going to be miscayeris and end up actually becoming his wife. Okay, and then he cried because she was going to die. But in general, obviously there's something deeper going on there. So there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Mishkan. What are they crying about? And I think the point is, to understand, to cry over the importance of the Beis HaMikdash, not the destruction itself, but to instill within themselves how important the Beis HaMikdash is, how important Eretz Yisrael is. That's the point of crying, and that's why we go ahead and we have the mourning, and that's something you want to instill within the children. Yes, the Beis HaMikdash is important. So why is it that there's no chinuch when it comes to fasting? Besides the fact that why should we put them in danger, as you saw, the Rama Mipano says that by Yom Kippur you should watch them. Because the reason we fast on Tisha B'Av, on other fast days, is not because of Elis, it's because of tshuva. It's a whole different reason. So why Chazal basically said there's chinuch by Avelis and not by tshuva? I say because it's harder. Because the fasting is it could be dangerous maybe. But if you look at the second half of source number 15, the Rambam Hilchas Tainis Parakei Aloch Aleph, Yesham Yomim Shakol Yisrael Masanim Behem. There's days where every Jew has to fast because it's soros the head. In order to awaken the hearts of Toch and Darche Tshuva, to open, to realize they have to do Tshuva. That's the point. So we really can't ask why is it? Why do we have more? Why is the children archayiv in the Avelis of the 9 days, but not in fasting? Because it's two different concepts, two different ideas. But the mourning is so important because the mourning instills how important the Beis HaMikdash and Eretz Yisrael is. Now, but the Tosfos was clear. That's only during the 9 days, the Shavuot Shechal Bo, Tisha B'Av itself, the 9 day, but not during the 3 weeks. What are we supposed to feel during the 3 weeks? So, I think, you know, I remember that it had during the 3 weeks. So, Minig, at least certainly of Ashkenaz, is before the 3 weeks start, every 3 weeks, you have to come home and make sure you put on all the clothes. You can't wear fresh laundry. Okay? It's Hachanas. Hachana for the 9 days. And I remember once that, I guess, you know, if you don't have enough clothes, right? So you're buying clothes that don't involve a Shechianu, you should buy clothes before the 9 days start. So I remember once I had to go to buy certain clothes before the 9 days. When I was a bacher, and one of my friends says to me, "Yeah, it's Erev Yontif, you have to go buy clothes." What's that about? So, source number 6. So, if you want to understand what the 9 days are about, I'm sorry, 3 weeks, we have to look at the Haftorah. What Haftorah did Chazal choose for us to read during the 3 weeks? So, if you look at source number 16. I just took some snippets from the Haftorah. You mean all Perek Aleph? Ki hini korei l'chol mishpachos mam l'chos tzafona. I'm calling Hashem. You know, I was telling the Jewish people, I am telling the families from the royal families in the north, from Bavel. Uvo v'nosnu yishkiso pesach shar yushalayim v'al kocho mosel sabit v'al kol Yehuda. They'll all come and they'll lay a siege. They'll put their seats down facing the gates of Yerushalayim. V'dibarti mishpatay osam al kol ra'asam. I will speak to you my mishpat on all the evil that you did. Asher azavuni v'yikatru le'elohim acher mishtachol ma'asi yedeyem. HaKadosh Baruch doesn't say, you know, this happened, be careful, because the bubble is going to come. The second, source number 17, which is the Torah of the second week of the Gimel de Pernusa, before the 9 days start, before Shavuot Shechal Bo, I'm sorry, before Shavuot Shechal Bo, I should say, L'chein Oro Rivitchem Nu Mashem Es Pnei Vnechem Oriv. I'll fight with you, I'll argue with you. This is what you do to me? What's happening? It's very simple. The Jewish people were very secure. Okay, so they worshipped some Avodah Zarah. Okay, there wasn't Mishpat, but everything was going well. Jerusalem was a bustling metropolis, even though it really wasn't. And Yirmiyahu says, if you guys don't change, something bad is going to happen. Do you know what the 3 weeks are about? The 3 weeks are about taking things seriously. Not everything is a joke. That's what you have to think about. Yeah, everything is great, and Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has showered upon us so much bracha. But we have to understand that we have to take life seriously and the world seriously. And yes, things could happen. And, you know, even though we're supposed to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there's a certain sense of fear we have to feel. And that's what we feel during the 3 weeks. And as a matter of fact, my father, that Sfira Sa'omer, and the Avelis of the 3 weeks is very similar to Sfira Sa'omer. Very similar. We don't get haircuts. We don't go to weddings. Simcha Bereus. A lot of other practices in the morning are not really in place. And he said, "What's the idea by Sfira Sa'omer? It seems very strange." I gave a shiur in this once here. It on YU Torah if anyone wants to hear it. But just very quickly, he quoted the Shiboli Haleket. Shiboli Haleket says, you know why there's Avelis during the three during the Sefira? And everyone knows Rav Kiva's Talmidim. That's another reason. He says, because the Mishnah, I think in Masechet Eidot, says that Rishoyim are Nidon B'Gehenim from Pesach until Shavuos. Right? He says, and my father asked, so what does that mean? He says, so someone passes away in Chodesh Cheshvan, you say, you know, he gets held somewhere in a terminal and says, hold on. So my father explained that Pesach to Shavuos is a very important time. It's a time where approaching Matan Torah we have to grow. And it says people are judged for how they behaved during that time of year, because that time of year will affect the rest of the year. And that's why he says we have to have certain practices to make sure that we take things seriously. Life is not a joke. And that's why we don't necessarily have parties. And he says even going ahead and taking a haircut. He says, you know, sometimes we take a haircut, all of a sudden, you know, it changes how we feel, we look at things. And that's, I think, the idea, the same practice from the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks is to take things seriously. Don't think that everything is to continue the way it is. And that's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi told Klal Yisrael. He says, the northern kingdoms are going to come and put their cheers here. That's the idea of the 3 weeks. That's not necessarily mourning. And what happens during the 9 days, during Shavuos HaChalbo, as Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, that's mourning. As Tosfos in Maseches Megillah, that's mourning. Because what does the mourning mean? So the 3 weeks is foreboding. Something bad might happen. But then comes the mourning. Why do we mourn? Because there's devastation. You look around. We're in Golus. We see what happened to us. We see what's going on. Whereas the point is to realize the devastation. We see what happened. As a matter of fact, and that's why I think that maybe, and by the way, I would tell you, you know, I'm getting shyless about the 9 days. And listen to some of the shyless, and Baruch Hashem, people ask questions. But, you know, I think when I was younger, I don't think people ask shyless like that. Why? Because there's certain things just you knew you don't do. It's the 9 days, you're mourning. How can you go ahead, at least the feeling I got, how can you go ahead and do that kind of thing? And when I was in Avelis for my parents, so as a Rav, I had to sometimes go to a bar mitzvah. And not so much to a wedding, to a chuppah, to a bar mitzvah. And I remember going to bar mitzvah once, and they wanted me to speak, and I said, what time should I come in? And they told me, and so I would speak and I'd leave, because I really can't be at the bar mitzvah. And as, you know, I always believe that time is exact, and most Jews don't, and I came here a little bit early, and there I was standing around, and I felt very uncomfortable. I felt like I don't belong here. And during the 9 days also, the same thing. In my house, I was about like the 9 days. Wow, you really felt. It wasn't just halachas; it was the mourning. You know, questions like why would a person want to do certain things during the 9 days? You have to go ahead, and you have to feel the mourning. And you know, sometimes before the mourning begins, we prepare for it. We know what's going to happen. If anybody had, you know, knew a parent was very sick. They knew the next few hours, the death would happen. So you might do certain things, let's say, in terms of to make sure, prepare yourself, because you know it's going to happen. So during this end of the 3 weeks also, we get ready for the mourning. We might put on some of the clothes before the 9 days begin. We might even buy certain clothes. I'll tell you a story, a tragic story, but really very beautiful. I saw this years ago. A certain mother, not sure if she was a young mother, an older mother, but she had a child who was about to come bar mitzvah. And she had four-stage cancer. And she was hoping she would make it to the bar mitzvah. But you know, when a person has cancer, four-stage, they know. They feel when the end is coming. And she felt the end was coming, and she knew she wouldn't make it to the bar mitzvah. So when her son came to visit her, she said to her son, you know, it was very difficult. I'm looking forward to your bar mitzvah, but I don't think I'm going to make it. you do me a favor, in a few weeks, I'd like to hear your bar mitzvah drasha and to look, see you how you'll look at the bar mitzvah. Do me a favor, next time you come, come back tomorrow, dressed in your suit and tie for the bar mitzvah, and tell me the drasha. Next day he comes in, dressed like for bar mitzvah, suit and tie, tells the whole drasha. Sure it was difficult. Sure he cried. I'm certain that she cried. Then he went home. Later that evening, one of her close friends came to visit, and she told her friend what she did. Her friend says, "How could you put your son through that?" So I'll tell you, he says, "One of my biggest fears is that he never wore the suit, and he won't be able to wear the suit at the bar mitzvah. And I wanted him to put it on in order, only a Jewish mother. I wanted to put it on so at least he'll be able, he might not have me at the bar mitzvah, but at least he'll be able to wear his suit." It's a beautiful story. But you see a concept, and you know something's going to happen, you prepare for it. So the 3 weeks, it's foreboding. Realize, if we don't change our way, something's going to happen. And think about it. Yes, the 9 days is going to come. The 9 days are devoted to devastation. That you see, it's like you can't continue. As a matter of fact, if you look, there's a very famous Gemara in source number 18 that he says like this, "Kishachar v'abayis v'shnia," when the second temple was destroyed. And it's fascinating, by the way, that why it was the second temple, not the first temple. I'll come to that. Maseches Bava Basra, Daf Sayam Chamabei, the very end of the third perek. Rabu Prushim B'Yisrael. There were many people amongst the Jews that wanted to sort of, you know, practice a certain set of asceticism. They wanted to not be involved, to get pleasure from anything. Shalol Lecho Basra, Shalistos Yayin. And Rabbi Shua attached himself to them. Yeshua said to them, "I don't understand. Mimema yatem ochlim basr, veinatem shosim yayin. Why are you not eating meat? Why are you not drinking wine?" Amru lo, "Drink meat? Nechal basr v'nishin machmim v'agav nizbeach. We should eat meat that there was a that was offered in the mizbeach, and now there's no mizbeach. We should drink wine. Sheminaskan v'agav nizbeach. They poured wine libations, and now it's bottle." So he says, "So you shouldn't eat bread?" It's okay, it's good taina, so we can eat fruit. He says, "You know, you can't eat fruit because the there are no bikurim. They didn't ask about vegetables." All right, so he says like this, and he says, "We should have a water. You can't drink water because there's no water libation." They were quiet. So Yeshua says, and this is the feeling we have to have. "V'ni bo v'omer lechem." He says, "I can't tell you not to mourn. Shaloli sa'avo kol ikar. To tell you not to mourn, I can't do. Because how can we not mourn? There's no Beis HaMikdash. And to mourn more than necessary, you can't. Because the tzibur can't handle this." He says, do something. Talk about how you decorate your house. And then the Kolbo says, it's fascinating. The custom, in source number 19, Simon Samach Beis, based on this Gemara, the Kasa Rav Asher Zal, Reisi Noshim Yikaros, I saw precious ladies, Shemimnaos Meachilas Basar Mishtias Yayin. Now this minhag of not eating meat and drinking wine, it began from the mothers. They're the ones who felt like, how can we drink wine? From Shivas Thomas till the 10th of Av. And he says, and that's what they received, not from their fathers, but from their mothers, Dor Achar Dor. He says, and where did it come from? The Kolbo says, because since on Shivas Shabbatamuz the Tumid was bottled, they stopped being Makar the Tumid, and also there was no wine libation, so to show how much it affected them. The Chassam Sofer in source number 20 points out that our custom to not eat meat and drink wine during the 9 days, it stems from this Gemara. He says, the bottom line is, we can't not eat fruit and drink water, obviously, but it stems from the Gemara. Why? In order to show, this is the morning, to show how it affects us. How we need the Beis HaMikdash. That yes, without a Beis HaMikdash, we're lost. So that really is, the idea of the 9 days and the 3 weeks. 3 weeks is foreboding. We have to realize something bad might happen. Devastation. That's after. To understand, look around, and to see, and to see what happened, devastation. And that's actually the Torah of Shabbos Chazon. If you look at the second half of source number 17, these are psukim. Arzachem shemama, your land is desolate. Areichem sreifus rufos eish, your cities are burnt. We're not talking about what's going to happen. This happened already. Admaschem and nagelachem zorim ochlam osos shemam mekafecha zorim. The land is desolate. It's been turned over. It's upside down. Benosra basion kesuka bakarem, basion is left over as a sukkah in the vineyard. Kimeluna mikshak here in the tzura lule Hashem tzvakos. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, a little remnant. It's devastation. What's
given initially before the destruction? They knew ahead of time.
They knew. Yes. They, by the way, it's also before the destruction.
Oh, but I said, but just
Right. So that's true. But that's the point of Havelis. Yes, you see devastation. What's the point of Tisha B'Av? The point of Tisha B'Av is not to talk about the Avera that we did. Jesus is not to talk. The point of Tisha B'Av is to talk about the Noshamtim, about what's going to happen. That's why we don't read about the Meravlim. Because the point of seeing destruction, as we sit on Tisha B'Av, we have to feel the destruction. Whether it's destruction of the first temple, whether it's destruction of the second temple, whether it's destruction of Beitar, whether it's how the Jews felt and we were told you're all going to die. It's the destruction of the Golas from Spain, the burning of the Gemaras, the Crusades, the Holocaust, whatever it is. That's what you have to feel. And that's why we go from stage to stage. We start off, we begin. Why is that? It's very simple. Because, you know, when it comes to an Avelis, I said, it's different, as my uncle pointed out, from Avelis Chadasha, where you begin from the strongest to the weakest. You go from a very strong form of mourning to not feeling a mourning at all at the end. The reason is very simple. Because when we mourn for relatives today, so we know that until Tchiyas HaMeisim, this is what's going to be. I remember when I was in Avelis for a year. It took me a year to realize this, because you know it was Yom Tov comes and I want to call my parents and I can't call my parents. It wasn't normal. It was very sad. It's very sad. And then after a year, I still wanted to call my parents. But I would say it was normal to not be normal. You follow what I'm saying? That's the idea. It's normal to be normal. That's the idea still. When it comes to the Churban, we're told it can't be that way. You can never feel, hey, this is normal not to be normal. We have to go and we have to say that we want to bring it back. And that's why you have to have a different approach. That's how we start off with the weakest form, the foreboding, and then the devastation, then the destruction itself, and then you can go ahead and you could have the salvation. Source number 21, Eicha, the first perek, Eicha Yeshva V'Dari Yira Basiyam Haisa Kalmana. So all the portion point out, it doesn't say Haisa Almana, because an Almana knows this is it. Ka'almana means that the Mitzvah Shem, things will come back, things will return. Even before Tchias HaMeisim, we can rebuild, we can come back there to throw all the Jewish people. It's very important to make the mourning extremely intense. And the process is very important. Because if you don't do the process properly, how are you going to feel the end? Last year, Tisha B'Av was not on Shabbos or Sunday. And I met someone in my building who actually splits his time between the Golan and Ramat Beit Shemesh. It was Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, and he says to me, "Oh, how are you?" So I'm friendly with him. I said, "Well, tell you the truth, it's Tisha B'Av after Chatzos." And I felt sad. And he says to me, "That's the wrong answer." I says, "So what is the right answer?" He says to me, "The right answer to say that it's all good because Mashiach's coming." And I thought about it. Says, why didn't I say that? I think there's a day and a half, or there's 9 days, or there's 3 weeks on certain levels, to not have that approach necessarily. Yeah. Erev Tisha B'Av Chatzos and Tisha B'Av itself, you have to feel very sad. You have to feel like our world is coming to an end. Why? Because if you don't feel that way, then you won't necessarily really feel the salvation. And it's so important to get into the depths of that feeling. He says, if you look at source number 22, I apologize, that's the Medrash Pesukta Zutra, actually says what I pointed out about Almana. Hoysuk Almana, she yosheves aguma vaaguna mamtenes al baila, she nil al derech rechoka. A person waiting for her husband to come back, below Almana mamish. That's what it says, Yisrael is not an Alman, because our Kaddish Baruch Hu is always there for us, he's ready to come back. That's the idea. There's a very beautiful Medrash in, I think, Parshas Beis of Eicha. It's not on the page, but the Medrash tells us that Rav Yehuda Hanasi was doresh the words Bila Hashem from Eicha in 24 ways, 24 different spins on the pasuk, and Rav Yochanan, who came a few generations later, he would darshan it. He would learn out 60 spins, 60 ways to explain the pasuk. So Chazal asked, does that mean that Rav Yochanan was greater than Rav Yehuda Hanasi? Medrash says no. Rav Yehuda Hanasi was samach l'chorben and listen to what he would say. So he would say he would cry, and then he would go ahead and he would say over, he would say the kinos, and he would cry again, and he would be misnachim. And Rav Yochanan would just keep darshaning. Because when you cry, and you really feel sad, then you can have the nechama. And that's really the point of Tisha B'Av, of the 3 weeks, 9 days, is to get to that point where you really can cry, and you really can feel bad, and that's why the process is so important. It's so important to go ahead and to forebode devastation, destruction, and then we really can experience redemption. I began the shir by saying that it's in general a different style, because usually I like to give a shir where you walk out and feel good, you know, wow, that was great. Now I can feel good about my lulav and esrog, my sukkah, lighting the menorah, my matzah, you know, my whatever it is, going to the Lag B'Omer bonfire, I can feel good about everything. Here, you know, I always say is, a terrible thing to say, I don't like Tisha B'Av, you know, sometimes I in front of a crowd, so it's not, you know, I don't want to use strong terminology, but I never liked Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av was my connection to Yiddishkeit. My gosh, I hate to think what would happen to me. But he says, but it has to be that way, because you really feel that way, then you'll come to the salvation to end. As it says, Kol HaMisabel Yerushalayim Zocha V'ro B'Nechamosa. I think Rav Chaim V'Loshner pointed out, doesn't say Yitzke V'Riyira. He says Zoche, which means he merits and sees. He merits and sees. And my father told over Rav Chaim V'Loshner, he sees it right now, he told the story of Netziv. Netziv was, as my father pointed out, was the Gaval de Gaval Menagin. As a matter of fact, the tune, but Abata v'chartanu, the old tune, you know, Ata v'chartanu mikol ha'amim. That Netziv composed. Believe it or not, that Netziv composed. And he davened Musaf in his shul. Every time there was a Musaf, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shavuos, Pesach, and every time he spoke of, except for, and he cried every time, except for Shoshana, that's a different Russia, except, he said every time he discussed about building the Beis HaMikdash. And I remember someone asked my father, how could he cry? It's Yontif, it's Shabbos. He says, no, you're mistaken. When the Tziv cried, he cried tears of joy because he saw the Beis HaMikdash. And you could only see the Beis HaMikdash if you're misavel, if you're mourning. But what's the key? How do you mourn? This is the key. It's so important to get into it, to get into the feeling, to really feel it. It really is. You have to. It's not just something you do. Okay, let's move on. It's a mitzvah. If you really, and it's hard, it's difficult, because we're living normal lives, we're doing things. But you really have to feel it, because if you feel it, for both this damage destruction, then we all will experience Mirtz Hashem, the feeling, as Rav Chaim Washer says, and the actuality, the redemption, behavior of Yaneinu.